What's going on, everybody? Welcome to a new episode of Phillies Today. It's Francisco Rojas with you for about the next 20 minutes or so. And ton to get into, especially on the front of the hot stove and MLB winter meetings, which technically, I guess, like, started yesterday. I guess that's when they gather, but I think it starts today. I don't know. Either way, MLB winter meetings are underway for the next couple of days involving, there's about four or five Phillies here that I want to, four or five players, you know, either potentially former Phillies or Phillies here, that we have some updates on that I want to get to. And then also I want to do a Phillies on the Hall of Fame ballot. I want to continue that, and I want to continue with Chase Utley. So find out what I think about Chase Utley potentially getting in the Hall of Fame this year, and if I think he's a Hall of Famer in general. So we'll get to that in just a bit. But hot stove latest. I want to start with Kyle Schwarber. Of course, we have to start with Kyle Schwarber. So Schwarber, according to Ken Rosenthal in The Athletic, on what he is hearing when it comes to being down in Florida, in Orlando, and what he's hearing in regards to Kyle Schwarber. And we have an offer from a team. The Pittsburgh Pirates have made an offer to Kyle Schwarber. They make an offer of 4 years, and there's not like a specific number specified on how much it was, but 4 years, almost certainly more than $100 million, according to Rosenthal. So the Pittsburgh Pirates make an offer to Kyle Schwarber, and also what Rosenthal said in his Athletic piece about Kyle Schwarber, referring back to the Athletic's Tim Britton projecting Schwarber to receive a five-year, $145 million contract. And a four-year offer with that same AAV would round out to about $29 million a year, and it would be $116 million if it was like a four-year, same AAV. 4 years, $116 million for Kyle Schwarber. That's what it would round out to be. That's if they were to give that number. So here's my thing on this. I don't think anyone is buying that Kyle Schwarber will be a Pittsburgh Pirate. The only way Kyle Schwarber would be a Pittsburgh Pirate is if they would blow him out of the water with an offer. And there's no way in heck that the Pittsburgh Pirates are offering Kyle Schwarber like a four-year, like $150 or more million dollar deal. It's probably closer to that, like a little over 100, maybe 115 to 125, maybe somewhere there. And the Phillies will give more than that. The Phillies will definitely offer more than that. I think the Red Sox would offer more than that, depending on what happens with them, with Bregman and Pete Alonso. And same thing with the Mets and Pete Alonso as well. And maybe even the Baltimore Orioles. It's going to be a bidding war here. I think the indication of this, out of all this, I think 99.9% of people don't believe Kyle Schwarber is going to sign with the Pittsburgh Pirates. I think the thing here is that Kyle Schwarber, it's going to be a bidding war, and he's probably going to get a fifth. I would venture to think it's going to be a five-year deal. Like 5 years, 5 years to like 150. I've said it already. 5 years from 150 to 180. So, and we'll see whichever team it ends up being is how much are they going to be willing to pay for a DH for the next 4 to potentially even 6 years. So Kyle Schwarber, though, he will not be a Pittsburgh Pirate. That is nothing to worry about. The Pittsburgh Pirates, I think the highest free agent deal that they've given out is like Francisco Liriano for about, and I think Rosenthal put it in the article. Yeah, Liriano for like 3 years, $39 million. I think it was somewhere around there. And that was way back in 2014. And then Ke'Bryan Hayes and Brian Reynolds, both, I think, were given like $100 million extensions. I know Reynolds was, for sure. So, but it doesn't happen often. It doesn't happen often. And they're not going to get in a bidding war for Kyle Schwarber. I know that the Pirates have, you know, come out and said basically that they're going to start spending more money. And that may be the case, but that's Kyle Schwarber will not be a Pittsburgh Pirate. I don't want to promise things, but I will 1,000% guarantee that Kyle Schwarber will not be in a Pittsburgh Pirates uniform. I think this just signifies that it's going to be a bidding war, and I think it's not like the Pirates are sitting here offering a 2 or 3 year deal, something that we know Kyle Schwarber isn't going to take. But I don't think Kyle Schwarber will be taking a 4 years, like 115 to 120 whatever million dollar contract. I don't think that would be happening. So that's the latest on Kyle Schwarber. A couple of other players here to talk about. Nick Castellanos. So Nick Castellanos went on MLB Network recently and talked to a couple of those guys over there. And some sound here I want you to hear first about him on this willingness to potentially go play first base. Here's what Castellanos said about that.
Hey, there's been talks about you possibly having another position as well, right? We know how you are in right field, how good you are, how much better you've gotten as well, but you know, I feel like at times, too, there could be a chance for you to play some first base, get back in the infield. How's that been for you in the work progress of that?
Well, it was brought up to me, and honestly, it's something that I really welcome. You know, amateur, I was a shortstop. I got drafted as a third base. I played my first 500 games over there. And then Al Avila came up to me when we traded Jamie Candelario and said, hey, listen, we're trading for this kid who's going to have a bright future. We think that you're athletic enough to go to right field and, you know, give it a shot out there. So I said yes. At that time, I never played any at first because we had Miggy there. And no one's taking, you know, his spot. So I went to the outfield. Right. And, you know, just as I get older, and now outfielders are really graded on, you know, like pure athleticism. You know, like how much ground they can cover. You know, like the spectacular play, like Crow Armstrong. And, you know, I think that going to first base is something that I can do and I would enjoy.
Absolutely.
If a team or somebody needs me to do that, because, I mean, if there's one thing I could say, it's I'm not bad in the outfield because I can't catch the ball. You know, no one ever says that I can't catch a ball that I get to.
So Casty will not be playing first base for the Phillies. Guarantee that. He will not be playing first base for the Phillies. If they're playing first base for anybody, it's not going to be the Philadelphia Phillies. Maybe there's potential here that he talked to other teams, and the other teams that he's talked to have talked to him about playing other positions because he's not a very good fielder or a very good right fielder, and that's a fact. So Castellanos will not be playing first for the Phils. He'll be playing for somebody else in 2026. According to, I think it was Todd Zielecki on MLB.com, saying that both sides are expecting a separation before spring training. So the Casty and the Phils both expecting for Casty not to be a Philadelphia Philly going forward in 2026. And he was asked about how his 2026 is looking from those MLB Network guys. And this is a quote from Casty. He said, well, I have no idea. All I know is that this offseason, I know that I wanted to just live as simple as possible, focus on training and being in a great spot just so I'm physically ready for 162 games next year. You know, there's a lot of stuff right now that's out of my control as far as like the trade talks and everything. So I'm just trying to focus on making sure today I get done what needs to be done or what, I get done what needs to get done. Whatever happens is going to happen. So, I mean, you know, Castellanos giving a professional answer and totally respect that. And, you know, not likely that Cassie will be back with the Phillies as both sides are expecting a separation before spring training starts. Okay, a few more. So we got Harrison Bader and Max Kepler, along with Schwarber being written about in the Athletic piece from Ken Rosenthal. He also wrote about Harrison Bader and Max Kepler in the same read. And he says, talking about the Royals and who they're targeting in the outfield. And he mentions both Max Kepler and Harrison Bader. First, with Harrison Bader probably being out of reach for the Royals because he'll be looking for a three-year deal. He's going to be looking for a three-year deal, so that probably prices the Royals out of going to get Harrison Bader. And also, just recently reported, the San Francisco Giants are interested in Harrison Bader as well. That, according to Susan Slusser of the San Francisco Chronicle. So, I think with other teams being interested here, I mean, the Royals are not going to be, you know, Royals looking like they're not going to be interested in Bader. But with the reports maybe that the Giants are interested, it's, again, it's a slim outfield market. I wonder if the Phillies aren't going to commit to 3 years for Harrison Bader, for somebody who just had, you know, a couple of months that, where he had put up some really good numbers, but he hasn't really put up those type of numbers, you know, in the past. So I don't know if the Phillies are really going to commit this money to Harrison Bader for 3 years. So I wouldn't expect Bader to come back. Max Kepler, a potential target for the Royals, that probably more in their price range. So we'll see where Max Kepler ends up. Maybe even we could come back to the Phillies. Who knows? So that's the latest on those two. And the last one, Ranger Suarez. So from ESPN's Jeff Passan, he recently wrote about what he's hearing down at the winter meetings. And or maybe it was like right before, a couple of days ago. So Passan says, teams in the mix for Suarez believe he is the next big-time starter off the board. Though the 30-year-old won't fetch a Dylan Cease-level deal, he long has been a target for Houston, which balks at deals beyond 6 years, and Baltimore, which is seeking a top-end rotation piece. So, I don't know, there's something that feels like Ranger Suarez is going to be an Oriole. I don't know if it's because, like, Kimbrel's gone there, and it's because Sir Anthony's gone there, and I don't know if it's necessarily that, but it just feels like Ranger's going to be an Oriole. And I know they don't, like, dish out a whole bunch of big contracts either. I think, like, you know, Chris Davis was there, and, you know, Adam Jones got an extension there. They don't really dish out huge deals. I mean, they let Corbin Burnes go to Arizona after they traded for Corbin Burnes. I don't know. It just feels like it feels like Ranger Suarez is an Oriole. That just, I don't know, just gut feeling, just gut feel. As the Orioles, as the Orioles are looking for some pitching too. So that's the latest for the Philadelphia Phillies on the hot stove. That is the latest. All right, and then we'll get to around MLB, where we'll maybe talk a little bit more about MLB hot stove just in general. But before we get to that, do I actually have a decent amount of Hall of Fame talk here, and it actually includes when I get to around Major League Baseball in about 5 to 6 minutes. But I want to start with Chase Utley. So I did Cole Hamels last time talking about Phillies in the Hall of Fame ballot and how I don't think Cole Hamels is a Hall of Famer just because I don't think he has the total numbers, and I don't think Cole's a Hall of Famer. I think he's a Phillies Hall of Famer, but not a Hall of Famer. And Chase Utley is a really polarizing one because, man, Utley is really supported by some of the more, like, you know, like the metrics with WAR and, you know, some of the defensive metrics. A lot of those defensive metrics show that Utley was a much better defender than he's given credit for. I don't think he ever won a Gold Glove. So Utley, supported by some of the more advanced analytics. And in the past, I've kind of said that I think Utley could be a Hall of Famer. But he's somebody I've gone back and forth on. I think a couple years ago, I thought he was a Hall of Famer. But going back to, like, last year, I think I look at Utley's career, and I don't know, man. I think he just misses for me. So in 2024 and 2025, 2024, his first year on the ballot, he came in at almost 29%, good debut. And in 2025, made a leap with, you know, a little more than 10% more of a vote, with almost 40% of the vote, with 39.8%. So a good start for Utley. Definitely a good start for Utley on the Hall of Fame ballot, his first 2 years in, almost getting 40% of the vote. And just, you know, looking at whether I think he's a Hall of Famer and will I think he's going to get into the Hall of Fame this year, just looking at those two things. So, number one, do I think he's a Hall of Famer? I think he just misses for me. Like, he, if me thinking he's a Hall of Famer, I think I would say he just misses the cut for me. His peak years were amazing. And as a second baseman, his peak years were unbelievable. In the 2000s, there might not have been really a better second baseman than Utley. You had Pedroia, you had Cano, but like Utley was right there. And some of those peak years where he was having like a 7 WAR every single year from like 05, 06 till about 2010, 2011, like those years were... He was unbelievable. He wasn't just a great second baseman. He was like one of the best, you know, most valuable players in baseball. But the issue for me with Utley is that I think after 2010, 2011, he started to garner some more injuries. And I think if Utley had stayed a little healthier and kept up, you know, closer to those numbers that he was putting up from about 05 to 2010, then I think he would have a much better case for being in the Hall of Fame. And actually, if I think he stays healthier from like, you know, 2011 to 2015, in those years where he was still like probably maybe close to the player he was, maybe not as, you know, closer to the player he was in the 2000s, then I think he is in the Hall of Fame. I think he's in the Hall of Fame. But I think the fact that he wasn't able to stay healthy, you know, some of those years, 2012, he missed like half the year. 2011, he missed a good amount of time. Even 2010, still missed a good amount of time as well. He still was you know, just still the chase that we had seen. He just unfortunately got hurt. I just think that takes away from his total numbers. His total numbers, he, you know, doesn't even have 1,900 hits, has 259 home runs, an 823 OPS, 117 OPS plus for his career. Those are all great numbers for a career, but I think when we're looking at the Hall of Fame, I just don't think, in my opinion, Chase Utley is a Hall of Famer. At least my opinion has changed on certain guys, you know, throughout the years, but I think right now I just don't see Chase Utley being a Hall of Famer for me. Will he get in the Hall of Fame this year? No. I think you could see a good jump. I think you could see a good jump for Chase. I think Chase is borderline, but I think that, you know, I think there's a good amount of people out there so far that think Chase is a Hall of Famer. And with it being a weak ballot this year, that bodes well for Utley, at least for you to see a good jump. I don't think you're going to see 40% to 75%. I don't think you're going to see that. I think you could see 40% to like between 50 and 60, and that'll be a good jump. I mean, you saw a good jump last year when you saw three guys get in. So I think there is a good opportunity this year for Chase Utley to make a jump. And that's just where I stand on Chase Utley right now. But you can let me know on Twitter at @Rojas_media_. Let me know your thoughts on whether or not you think Chase Utley should be enshrined in the Hall of Fame. Because right now, at this moment in time, though, my opinion is that Chase Utley is not a Hall of Famer. But he's borderline, though. I think he's close, though. I think he's close. If you were to sit here and tell me that Chase Utley is a Hall of Famer, I wouldn't be super mad at you. I wouldn't sit here and say, like, man, there's that's stupid, that's dumb. There are certain guys that I think are, that people say are Hall of Famers, and I think, like, wow, I'm almost close to saying you are stupid and dumb. As respectful as possible, even though you can use those words and not really be respectful. But Chase Utley doesn't qualify as one of those guys. I think you can talk about Utley and say that maybe there is the potential he's a Hall of Famer, and you can sell me on maybe slightly somewhat of a case. Maybe so. All right, around Major League Baseball, before we get out of here, So first things, congratulations to Jeff Kent. I'm never going to sit here and even if I think someone's not a Hall of Famer, I'm not going to sit here and say, like, oh, screw you. I'm not going to congratulate you. Congratulations to Jeff Kent and being inducted into the Hall of Fame. I think he's somebody that's close for me as well as being a Hall of Famer. But at the end of the day, just Jeff Kent, congratulations on being a Hall of Famer. He was named from the contemporary ballot. And I was surprised because I thought if anyone was going to get in, I thought it was going to be Don Mattingly and Dale Murphy. And they didn't get in. They didn't even get, I think they got like 37.5% of the vote. There were 16 voters and they got about like what? I want to say like 6 to 8 votes somewhere in there. And I think Delgado might have got like 9 votes. I had it somewhere in front of me. But regardless, those guys don't get in. Jeff Kent's the only one that gets in. And with Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens not even getting 5 votes, I believe they're not even ready for, they're not even going to be eligible for the next cycle when this comes out for another one of these type of ballots. So Bonds and Clemens not in the Hall of Fame, Jeff Kent into the Hall of Fame. So congrats to Jeff Kent on being inducted or being elected to Cooperstown. He will be inducted later in 2026 in July. So congrats to Jeff Kent. A couple of more things from around Major League Baseball. Mike Soroka, former Brave, signs a 1-year, $7.5 million deal with the Diamondbacks. So Soroka to Arizona. Couple more things. Framber Valdez, who I mentioned with Ranger Suarez. Valdez met with the Giants, Mets, and Orioles. There's a report that he met with those three teams at the winter meetings. And then last thing, the Seattle Mariners traded Harry Ford, the 42nd ranked prospect in Major League Baseball, according to MLB Pipeline. Mariners traded him to the Nationals for lefty reliever Jose Ferrer. So we did have another trade in the MLB offseason. So that is that on around Major League Baseball. Okay, that will do it for another episode of Phillies Today. Stay tuned for everyone else that does a great job on the channel. And I'll talk to you guys soon.